following is a recording for Rafael Borja from iAdvise on Tuesday, May 26, 2015 at 10 a.m. Central. Mansoor, first quarter 2015. Good morning and welcome to Mansoor first quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Josh, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mansoor's first quarter 2015 earnings call. This morning, Mansoor's senior management team will discuss the company's first quarter 2015 consolidated results per the press release distributed on May 15th. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianflavio Carosi, Chief Financial Officer. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us for the discussion of Mansoor's first quarter 2015 results. As usual, I will present a summary of the results, and then I will move on to a more detailed discussion on each business operation. Also then, Gianflavio will review the financial performance for the quarter with additional details. Following the presentation, we will open the floor for any questions that you may have, of course. I would like to start by saying that the first quarter of the year can be summarized as a quarter of very strong operational performance when compared to our guidance and our budget, overshadowed, however, by external factors that impacted our financial performance. Nevertheless, and despite the lower prices, the company generated a strong EBITDA in Q1, including our Tavoca subsidiary, which posted a record EBITDA during the quarter. Operationally, production was in line or better than expected in most of our operations, while costs were lower than expected in all of them. However, these results were mainly offset by the lower average tin price, with the tin price decreasing 19% compared to Q1 2014. The second external factor that impacted our financial performance for the quarter was the devaluation of the Brazilian real against the U.S. dollar. The real devaluated 27% during the quarter, accounting for an exchange loss of $26.5 million during the quarter. Given the current challenging market conditions, the company has undertaken an aggressive cost and capex reduction plan in all of its operating units. Although the cost reductions achieved in the first quarter already reflect the impact of higher productivity and cost savings that have been implemented during the first quarter, we expect the additional cost reductions and savings projects that are now being developed to yield results in the second half of 2015. Moving now on to individual operating performance, let me start with Tavoca, our subsidiary in Brazil. During the quarter, our Pitinga mine reported record production levels, increasing tin production by 20% versus Q1 2014, delivering 1,585 tons of tin metal, and increasing also production of our niobium and tantalum alloy by 16%, delivering 679 tons of alloy during the quarter. On the same lines, our Pirapora smelter reported a 90% increase in production versus Q1 in 2014, reaching 1,108 tons of refined tin produced. Bear in mind that during Q1 2014, the Pirapora smelter experienced an unscheduled maintenance stoppage as a result of an electrical failure of the plant's transformer. Therefore, the increase in refined tin production is a result of continuous higher throughput levels, reaching almost 900 tons per hour at peak points during the quarter, and improvement in recoveries. Annual guidance of Tavoca in terms of production remains at the range of 5,000 to 6,000 tons of tin and between 2,000 to 3,000 tons of niobium tantalum alloy. Our cost of Taboca also improved significantly, reaching a cash cost per treated ton of ore of $17.2, 8% lower than Q1 2014. Cost improvements were a result of operational efficiencies and the depreciation of the Brazilian real as well. Please note that our cost guidance remains on the range of $18 to $20 per ton treated for the full year. The combined effect of higher production, improved productivity, and lower costs allowed Taboca to record a $14,341 byproduct cash cost per refined ton of tin produced. That's 30% lower than the number reported in Q1 2014. This also allowed us to generate a positive EBITDA of $4.5 million for the quarter, despite the 19% average lower tin price decline and the 7% lower niobium and tantalum alloys price as well. In other words, increases in production, the improvements in productivity drove our cash cost to a record low at Taboca of $14,000 and a fraction per ton of refined tin produced, and that in turn drove us to deliver for the first time a positive EBITDA of $4.5 million during the quarter. Moving on to San Rafael. In the case of San Rafael, tin production reached 4,576 tons during the quarter. That's a 21% decrease compared to Q1 2014, but in line with the guidance and the budget for the quarter. The decrease in production is a reflection of the current mine plan, which incorporates lower grades than those mined in Q1 2014, and also a scheduled plant maintenance during the quarter. Please note that the plant capacity is running stable now at 2,900 tons per day, which allows us to partially offset the lower head grades of the mine, and that will be the case hopefully in the future. In terms of our guidance, we're well positioned to reach our production goal of 20,000 to 22,000 tons of contained tin in 2015. In summary, in terms of production at San Rafael, we had an expected decline during the quarter, but we over-delivered against our plan, despite the lower grades partially offset by higher throughput, which allows us to remain on track to deliver our guidance for the year. In terms of costs, at San Rafael during the quarter, the scheduled plant maintenance coupled with some one-time investments in operational optimization studies, which are currently underway, resulted in a cash cost of $146 per ton of ore treated. That's 16% higher than the same quarter of 2014, but significantly lower than our budget as a result of the cost savings initiatives implemented during the end of last year and during the first quarter. Nevertheless, we continue to seek further efficiencies at the mine, which will allow us to reduce our costs and close the year on the lower end of our guidance of $130 to $140 per ton of treated ore. As a result of the lower head grade, cash cost per ton of refined tin produced in Q1 2015 reached $8,910. As mentioned earlier in my summary of the first quarter results, we're implementing an aggressive cost and capex reduction plan expected to yield results during the second half of 2015. Despite the increase in costs reported during the quarter, San Rafael remains as one of the lowest producers in the world, and will continue to be so as we consolidate further increases in productivity and our cost savings initiatives during the rest of the year. Moving on to Pucamarca, our gold mine. At Pucamarca, production in Q1 reached 28,778 ounces. That's a 1% increase compared to Q1 2014, in spite of the expected lower gold head grade and above our guidance for the year. As a result of a strong Q1 production performance, we now expect annual production to close 10% higher than our previous guidance of 95,000 to 105,000 ounces for the year. This is mainly reflected the impact of having obtained 2 months ahead of time the license to increase the daily plant capacity from 17,500 tons per day to 21,000 tons per day. In other words, given that we were able to secure the permits to increase throughput earlier than expected, we will be able to improve by 10% our previous guidance for the year. In order to further mitigate the decreasing head grades, our focus on productivity and cost controls have allowed us to achieve a cash cost per ton treated of $4.4 for the quarter. That's a 34% improvement over Q1 2014. Also, as a result, the cash cost per ounce of gold closed in Q1 2015 at $274 per ounce. That's a decrease of 13% compared to Q1 2014, which consolidates Cucamarca as one of the gold mines with the lowest cash cost in the world, if not the lowest. In terms of cash cost guidance for the rest of the year, our latest outlook remains in the lower end of the $5 to $5.5 per ton treated for the full year. I have alluded earlier to the cost reduction and capex optimization plan in which we're currently working. Just to provide a little bit of more color, the plan is mainly focused on the renegotiation of the mine contractor's tariffs, the creation of task force teams focused on reducing costs and expenses at every level in all of our mines, as well as our corporate overhead, and the recruitment of a team of specialized consultants to achieve a specific operational and productivity improvements both at San Rafael and Pitinga. These consultants were hired early during the quarter, and the work is already underway. All of these actions shall deliver further cost improvement results in the second half of the year. If I have to summarize the first quarter of the year, we continued our focus on cost controls, which allowed us to improve productivity and achieve very strong operational efficiencies, mitigating the expected decrease in head grades, in particular in San Rafael, but also Cucamarca. Given the rapid decline in tin prices and the current short-term perspectives for the market, we're strengthening our efforts and initiatives to improve productivity and achieve further cost reductions. However, even under the current tin price context, the company remains very strong financially, with a very strong EBITDA margin at its operations in Peru, and it has shown in Q1 a very significant improvement in the EBITDA generation at the business in Brazil. This, together with a very strong financial performance of the gold business, ensures our capacity to keep driving our growth projects and therefore sustain and grow our business in the long run. With that, I would like to turn it on to Gianfranco Carossi, our CFO, who will really get into more detail of the financial performance during the quarter.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. I will review the financial results for the first quarter of 2015, and then we will move on to the Q&A session. I would like to start by mentioning that Melon, our Chilean subsidiary dedicated to cement production and commercialization, is being reported starting in 2015 on a deconsolidated basis following the equity method. Similarly, 2014 results from Melon have been deconsolidated as well and are shown under the same methodology for a proper comparison. As Juan Luis mentioned earlier, the quarter can be summarized as a quarter of cost and expense reductions on all lines, overshadowed by a decrease in metal prices. As such, net revenues reached $170 million, a decrease of 30% compared to the first quarter of 2014, mainly explained by lower tin and gold average metal prices, 19% and 6% respectively, and by lower tin and volume and gold volume sold, 21% and 7% respectively as well, as the first quarter of 2014 was influenced by a reduction of stocks. This was partially offset by 46% higher niobium and tantalum alloy volume sold. Cost of sales during the first quarter of 2015 were 12% lower than that of the first quarter of 2014 as a result of lower unitary costs of production and lower volume sold, as explained before. However, gross profit reached $66 million, a 48% decrease compared with the same period of the previous year, mainly due to the lower average tin and gold price. Administrative expenses in the first quarter of 2015 were $11 million, a 13% decrease compared to the first quarter of 2014. This decrease was mainly due to lower expenses in Taboca, explained by the Brazilian Real devaluation, and a strong cost control in all of our units. In the first quarter of 2015, exploration and project expenses totaled $12 million, a decrease of 34% compared to the first quarter of 2014. This decrease was mainly due to lower expenses at Mina Justa project as a result of a reduced scope of work in the first quarter of 2015 when compared to the first quarter of 2014 and optimization of the project. This was partially offset by higher brownfield exploration expenses in San Rafael and Pucamarca and the progress of the pre-feasibility study of the tailings treatment project B2 at San Rafael. Bear in mind that our investments in growth projects are recorded as expenses until the completion of a feasibility study. Currently, Mina Justa and San Rafael's tailings treatment projects are at pre-feasibility stage. As a result, EBITDA in the first quarter of 2015 reached $62 million. During the quarter, we recorded an exchange difference of negative $26.7 million, compared to a positive $3.9 million in the first quarter of 2014, mainly explained by the impact of the devaluation of the Brazilian real over the net liability position that Taboca held in U.S. dollars. It is important to notice that Taboca's financial statements are reported considering the Brazilian real as its functional currency. This means that the impact of exchange rate fluctuation over Taboca's net assets or liability U.S. dollar balance sheet position is reflected in the income statement as a financial gain or loss. Taboca had, as of the end of the quarter, a $139 million net liability U.S. dollar position, resulting from debt financing with Minsur and local banks. To mitigate this impact, in April, the company capitalized Taboca's debt in U.S. dollars that was held with Minsur, locking in a positive exchange difference of $12 million as a real appreciated, partially offsetting the current loss in the first quarter of 2015. As a result, net income reached negative $15.1 million in the first quarter of 2015, mainly impacted by the negative exchange difference and results from subsidiaries and associates. Excluding these items, adjusted net income would have been positive $9.1 million, which includes $12 million in gross investments. In terms of liquidity, the company closed the quarter with $528 million of debt and $568 million in cash. This resulted in a negative 0.1 net debt to EBITDA ratio. In terms of CapEx, the company invested $7.8 million in the first quarter of 2015, a decrease of 38% compared to the first quarter of 2014. CAPEX was mainly allocated to the expansion of tailings dams at San Rafael and Pitinga, and operational and infrastructure improvements at Pitinga. However, the company is implementing a plan to reduce capital expenditures in all units. With that, I conclude my presentation. I want to reiterate that we will continue executing our cost and expense control plans, which will allow us to drive more operational efficiencies and cost savings, and in keeping our financial structure strong to capitalize on future opportunities. This concludes our presentations. Thank you very much for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you'd like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question comes from Sebastian Cruz from Capital Securities.
Good morning to all. I want to know your guidance about sustaining CAPEX for the next year.
Okay, our guidance still remains the same as the one that we gave during the last conference call. Obviously, this is being right now revised and we should be able to provide an updated CAPEX guidance during the next conference call. However, the guidance that we gave during the previous conference call was you should expect CAPEX of about 15 to 20 million at San Rafael and Pisco, 8 to 12 million at Bucamarca, and 30 to 35 million at Pitinga and Pirapora. These are all being reviewed as we speak.
Just to overemphasize the fact that given the current price context, obviously we're going to be streamlining this capital, and I think that at the most you could expect to close the year on the low end of this range. So that will mean around $50 million for the year. I expect it to be even lower than that.
Okay. About Mina Justa, if you can give us more guidance about the project.
More guidance on what of the project, sorry?
Mina Justa.
Oh, yeah, but you want CAPEX? You want the guidance on CAPEX? Or
yeah.
You?
Guidance of CAPEX.
CAPEX for... CAPEX for Mina Justa should be on the $40 to $50 million range for the year, and probably coming down as well another 15%, probably. That's under review at this point in time.
Is it going to be...
That guidance is already below... That guidance is already... The new guidance that I just gave you is already 20% below the original one that we gave in January.
Are you going to be open pit?
The mine? Yeah, the mine will be an open pit. But this capital is not construction capital. This is all capital to fund the drilling, the metallurgical studies, all the test work, and the completion of the pre-feasibility study by the end of the year.
Which is the total capital for the project?
Well, that is not right now finished yet. As I said, we are in the process of developing the pre-feasibility study. We expect to have those numbers closed by the end of this year, as the final pre-feasibility study shall be approved by the board in the first quarter of next year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Hector Coyantes from Credicorp Capital.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask a question on Pitinga with these dire prices on tin prices and how hard it has been to reach this milestone with positive EBITDA. Would you say there is going to be further studies to perhaps streamline operations as well in this plant, or because I remember that since it has been already stabilized, perhaps there was room for expansions. Is this something that could be actually done with this price environment, or is it more of a perhaps a more wait and see approach right now?
We have a strategic plan developed for Pitinga, and that plan has three phases, which are short, medium, and long term. On the very short term, what we have done is we have hired a consulting firm which is specialized in operational optimization and improvement. They are working both at Pitinga and San Rafael, and the goal is basically to increase and maximize throughput and production, increase recoveries more than what we have done so far without significant capital investments, trying to basically time the cycle to time the investments to the price cycle. This will in turn allow us to deliver a positive EBITDA that will be, we expect, in line with the EBITDA that the company has been generating for the first 4 months of the year already. So very short term, it's all about operational improvements, increase in throughput, increase in productivity, and I would say further increases, because the story in the last 2.5 years of Pitinga has been a story of continuous increase in production, productivity, and reduction in costs. So we expect our costs to keep reducing. The other driver of value is going to be the increase in production and sales of our niobium and tantalum alloy. Last year, we did have a good run in production, but the market for this alloy was closed for, I would say, the last quarter of the year, mainly. So we ended up the year with fairly high stocks at Pitinga of niobium and tantalum alloy, which and for the rest of the year. So the revenues coming from selling both our production of niobium and tantalum alloy and the stocks we had at the end of last year are really contributing also to our bottom line and partially allowing us to offset the lower tin prices at the mine. We have to understand that Pitinga is not only a tin mine. Pitinga is a tin mine with a very high value contained in niobium and tantalum. And that's what we are also focusing on as a short-term strategy, to maximize our production of niobium and tantalum. We're developing new products to further penetrate the niobium market, which is a quite small market compared to other base metals. So we're developing new products to get basically into the steel industry. And that's part of our continuous R&D effort as well in the short term. We aim to stabilize production of the mine above 800 to 850 tons per hour by the end of the year. When I say stabilize, means to get basically a 90% total utilization of this mine. Today we're running in the low 80s. And that's also crucial for us to keep improving the performance of the mine. In the midterm, what we are aiming is to get all the way up to 900 tons per hour and to, through small discretional capital investments, increase our throughput capacity for the production of niobium and tantalum as we are able to confirm the viability of penetrating the steel market with our new niobium products. And in the long run, we keep focused on the expansion plan and the expansion program at Pitinga that will allow us to maximize the value of this asset life of mine. Let's remember that Pitinga holds the largest tin deposit in the world right now, as well as the largest tantalum deposit in the world, and a fairly big, fairly large niobium deposit. So there's plenty of potential. We have a very long life of mine ahead of us, but the strategy of first stabilizing the mine, reaching positive EBITDA, has been achieved. That was the first milestone that we had set for ourselves almost 2 years ago, and actually for this year, 2015. And what we will expect by 2016 is to be cash flow neutral. In other words, the operating cash flows of the mine should be able to pay for the capital as we go forward.
Thank you very much. That's been very comprehensive. Just another question, please. And it relates with the accounting standard changes and what is the new equity method is taking along into your numbers. Are there going to be perhaps more adjustments? Would you expect for this second quarter or the next of the year? And what would you suggest us to expect as perhaps a result that we can put into our numbers for this year, for instance?
Hector, this is Gianflavio. In terms of adjustments, the adjustments that we made, which we spoke about during the last few calls, have been that we used to consolidate Melon in our financial statements, even though we didn't control it from an administrative perspective. So in that sense, what we have done is deconsolidate Melon on a line-by-line basis from our financial statements, and now we are reporting our participation in their equity in one single line. and you can see that on our P&L. We have done that for the first quarter of 2015, and we are doing that also for the quarters of 2014 in order to be able to make a comparison of apples to apples. We do not expect further accounting adjustments. That was one that we felt that it was appropriate to do, given that it reflects the true nature of our relationship with Melon. And it is a better understanding of the mining division's financial performance.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Eder Castro from Profuturo.
Good morning, guys. I have a question about Rafael Tailing. Perhaps you can give us a little deeper guidance about the start of the construction of the plant, maybe a guidance of production and capex, an estimate of cash cost, perhaps. Also, if these tin concentrates are going to be refined also in Pisco refinery.
Okay, thank you for that question, Heather. It's very early to give any further guidance on B2. I think the highlight of the quarter in B2, which is our tailings project, is basically the fact that we have been able to define and prove, after 4.5 to 5 months of a pilot plant running at San Rafael treating this material, we have been able to prove the technical and economic viability of the project. In other words, what we now have is a flow sheet, a process flow sheet, that allows us to get the recoveries and concentrate quality, grades and contaminants that are viable for us to, in fact, be treated at our Pisco smelter. So I'm very glad to report that again, the B2 project is moving ahead at full steam. We have confirmed the technical viability of treating these tailings, and we are now getting into the confirmation phase of our pre-feasibility study. Therefore, giving you right now cost and capital estimates would be quite early still, because, as you know, at the current stage, figures are still at a very high order of magnitude in terms of accuracy. So I wouldn't like to create any expectations, but the bottom line is that the production profile of the project remains in line with what we have been saying, which is basically between 5 to 8,000 tons of tin per year, for a life of mine, to put it in a way, of around 8 years, with a process flow sheet that is now proven to be technically and economically viable. Again, to meet the specs, the specifications required by our Pisco smelter to treat this concentrate.
Okay,
in terms
perfect.
Of timing, I think you had a question in timing. In terms of timing, we remain with the same timing as we mentioned on our Q4 last year call in January, where we expect to conclude the pre-feasibility study this year and start construction very likely in 2017 after finishing the detailed engineering and the feasibility study in 2016. And start production by 2018, late 2018. That's where we stand on the project.
Great. Thank you, Ike.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We now have a follow-up question from Eder Castro from Profuturo.
No questions from my side.
Oh,
excuse me, I did press star one on Forpetur as well. My name is Neil Vanathan. So my question was basically about the revenue composition expected for 2015, given the production estimates and objectives. Could you provide some guidance about the makeup of the revenues in terms of minerals and production units?
Yeah, sure. I mean, very good. Production-wise, you should expect 20 to 22,000 tons of tin at San Rafael. At Bucamarca, it's going to be between 100,000 to 115,000 ounces of gold. At Pitinga, you should expect between 5,000 and 6,000 tons of tin, and between 2,000 and 3,000 tons of niobium and tantalum alloy. Obviously, revenue should accompany these figures in terms of sales. However, it will depend a lot on prices.
Okay, and do you still expect San Rafael to account for about 45% of the revenues until 2016?
I mean, we expect this production guidance to be maintained over the next few years until some of our other projects come into stream. And again, obviously, the contribution of each one of these to the bottom line, to the bottom revenue line, will depend a lot on prices. But should prices stay more or less where they are, you should expect probably a little bit higher proportion coming from San Rafael.
Overall, our tin business should still account at current prices for around 75% of our revenues, and gold for around 25% of our revenues. That's the revenue mix that we are expecting this year.
When you mentioned gold, 25%, is that gold and the niobium and tantalum, or?
No, that's only gold. Sorry, niobium and tantalum should be somewhere around, let me just give you a quick number. Somewhere around 7% to 8%. So it's 25 gold, between 8 to 10 niobium and tantalum, and 65% or a little bit more tin.
Okay, and that is considering over 50% from San Rafael.
Yeah, San Rafael should be a little bit over 50%. That's correct.
And finally, regarding the head grade issues that were observed on the first quarter, do you expect this to continue over the remainder of the life of the mine, or would they be a non-recurrent issue?
No, I mean, head grades have been coming down in San Rafael. If you compare our mining head grade to our current reserve or resources grades, what we are is basically mining, in the first quarter of 2015, we mined 2.2% tin versus 2.6% last year, the same quarter. And that compares to a head grade, a resource head grade, which is basically in line with the 2.2. Obviously, on a diluted basis, our reserve grade is around 1.9%. So we're still mining a little bit higher than our reserve grade. But the good news as well is that at least in the first 4 months of the year, we have been able to replenish resources mined at a higher grade than our current resource grade. So what that means is that we should be pretty much stable, but we could expect in 2016 a slight decrease to get closer to the 2% number when it comes down to head grade mined post dilution.
Okay, that answers my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star one now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
Yes, thank you very much. I want to really thank you all for your continued interest and trust in our company and for your participation in today's conference call. Please don't hesitate to contact me, Gianflavio Carosi, or Vladimiro Berrocal if you have any additional questions. And we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you again.